So glad you're here this morning, especially if you're here for the first time. We celebrated something. Well, actually, we unceremoniously we celebrated. We really didn't call attention to it. This past month, the first Sunday of April, which was Easter, was our fifth anniversary as a church. 5 years ago, on the first Sunday of April, which was Easter, the Grove began. It started. It was our first service. And when we started the Grove 5 years ago, we had met for about 6 months before that, praying and talking and getting ready to start a new church. And when we did that, one of the reasons that we did that was not because that Knoxville needed another church. I read this week, if the numbers are accurate, I think there's 450 churches in Knox County. And so if you look at that, you're like, well, Knoxville didn't really need another church. You came in this morning into, you pulled in probably, most of you pulled in off Emory Road and in beside the middle school, and there were two churches and physical buildings across the street from each other, and then we're worshiping here in the school. So if you were looking at it from the standpoint of, does Knoxville need another church? Not really, not another church building just to have a church. And I've actually had friends, when we were starting the Grove, say, why are you starting a church in Knoxville? I mean, aren't there like 1,000 of them already? And like, you're half right, almost, you know, almost 500. And so why would you be starting a church where there's a lot of other churches? And if you were looking at it from sheer numbers, that would not be a good reason to begin a church. It's kind of like when you see a new Starbucks go up and you're like, well, there's a Starbucks like 2 miles down the road. I mean, why do we need another one? You can kind of feel that way about churches. But when we started the Grove, it wasn't because there was not enough building capacity for people that wanted to go to church to be able to get into another church. That wasn't it. But there was a group of us, when we were talking about felt led to, wouldn't have done it if we didn't feel led to, because it's a lot of work for a lot of people to do it, but felt like we were being guided to do that and led to do that. And the reason was that our desire in doing that, after we felt like God was asking, calling us to do it, was that we wanted to create an experience of a church that maybe that we'd always wanted to go to, but had not. And so it was not to create or start another church. It was to start maybe a different kind of church. Now, when you hear that, you may think, well, that's kind of conceited, Scott, a different kind of church. Are you saying that your church is so different that it's so much better than any other? No, that is not what we're saying, because once you get to know me and once you get to know us, you'll find out that we're hugely imperfect. It's not that we had this great model that we feel like is better than anybody else's, because if you were to go to most of those 450 churches, you would find they're all different. But what we were wanting to do was to create, and have been trying to do for the last 5 years, is create a place where maybe you didn't experience this growing up, but a place where if this is the church that you go to, that you would feel comfortable inviting anybody to it. And probably most people that we were talking to and starting the Grove, that was not our experience for most of our life. That was probably kind of like where we went, or our family went, or we went because we felt like we needed to. But we just really didn't feel comfortable inviting other people for different reasons. But we wanted to create a place where if you brought a friend from work, or that you would actually be excited to bring a friend from work, or a family member, or a friend that you knew, or somebody that was even far from God or didn't know God or really wasn't interested in God, but you thought they'll like the people. They may like the music. They may like the teaching. So we wanted to create a place where you would feel comfortable inviting anybody to come. And also, we wanted to create a place where if you had children and your preschoolers or elementary age children came, that they would hear a creative Bible story, that it would be fun, that it would be something of value and meaning that they would take away, and that it would be so good that they would want to come back, and they would even want to bring their parents to come back. And we wanted to create an environment for students where they would have men and women that they could relate to, that was not their parents, but were great mentors, godly people that would be godly examples, that would also do some great teaching and have fun with them. And a place where they could find an anchor, really, to guide them in choices that they would make in middle school and high school and college. That we wanted to create a place where adults could find people that were just like them, that they could come to a place and that people would, you know what, that they would come and they would go, you know what, those people don't have it all together. They're not perfect. They're just like me. They're imperfect. But they want to grow. They want to get closer to Christ. That you could come to a place and not feel judged because of a mistake that you made in the past, or because of a place that you are right now, or because of what you were wearing, or whatever it was, or the way that you, whatever it is about you, that you wouldn't feel judged. That you would come to a place and people would just love you and accept you. And that people would walk with you and befriend you and walk with you on your journey and over time, hopefully help you take your next step with God as we take our next step with God. That was the kind of place and is the kind of place that we want to create. That's our desire. That's our hope. Now, when Jesus started the church, which, see, we didn't start the church. We started a church. Jesus started the church 2,000 years ago. And when he launched the church, when it began, his desire was not to just get a bunch of people together that had a common interest. Kind of like, you know, if you have a common interest in gardening, or, you know, you get together with other people maybe that garden, or you have a common interest, you play tennis, so you get together with other people that play tennis. His desire was not to get together a bunch of religious people. It wasn't his desire to get together a bunch of people with a common interest. What Jesus was trying to do was to get together a bunch of people that had a common problem. That all of us have the same problem that we began with. And to be able to take these people with a common problem who are asking this question. Is there really a God? And if there is a God, does he really know me? Does he care about me? If there is a God and he knows me and he cares about me, is it possible to really have a relationship with God? And Jesus came on the scene, and his desire was to go to people that had a common problem, which includes all of us, and say this: you can have. Now, listen, this was revolutionary at the time. You and I've heard this a lot. But when he began to talk to people in his day, this was very new. And he was saying, you can have a very, very personal relationship with your heavenly Father. And he was using words like personal and Father and relationship, and those were not terms that people were hearing a lot, because you had to go through all kinds of, you know, jump through hoops and go to temple worship and have a priest do, you know, do all kinds of things for you in order for your sins to be forgiven or for you to have any sort of meaningful worship. And Jesus is saying you can have a personal connection. That's what he was saying. And his desire was to come to people that were far from God. That's how Jesus wanted to start. That's how Jesus began the church. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 28. If you got your Bibles or your device, turn to Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16. Now, if you were here last week, you're like, weren't we in Matthew 28? Yes, we were in Matthew 28 last week. Last week we talked about baptism, and we took a verse from this passage. So today we're looking at Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16. And just to kind of set this up, and so you understand kind of where this is in the, you know, timeline of Jesus' life, Jesus has already been given his life on the cross. He's been crucified. He died. He was placed into a tomb, and he raised himself 3 days later. He conquered. When you hear people say Jesus conquered death, I used to hear that all the time. I'd be like, what does that mean? Jesus conquered death. He conquered hell. I don't understand what it means he conquered it. What it means is this: death could not hold him. It had no power over him. And when Jesus raised himself from the dead 3 days later, he had power over death. And because of that, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian, death has no power over you. I don't have to fear anything when this life is over. If I walk into eternity today or 40 years from now, death is no fear for me, because I'm just going to step from one existence into another, into the presence of Jesus. So death has had no control over Jesus, has no control over you in terms of spiritual death as a follower of Jesus. And so Jesus was raised to new life, and he spent before Jesus went back into heaven, he spent about 40 days on earth teaching the disciples. This is toward the end of those 40 days. Jesus is getting ready to ascend back into heaven. He's not going to be physically with the disciples anymore. These disciples, they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s. They're going to live another 30, 40, 50 years. And this is the mission Jesus is leaving them with. He's like, here are some of my last words. Matthew 28, last chapter of Matthew. Last few verses in that chapter. And Jesus is saying, this is who I want you to be. This is what I want you to do. These are your marching orders. This is your mission. This is your purpose statement. All right? Picking up in verse 16 says this. Then the 11, there were 11 disciples, and you know why? Because Judas had betrayed Jesus and then took his own life. So there's 11 disciples, went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. And that's pretty cool. Because it wasn't that there was a guy with a guitar and there were words and they were singing worship. They were worshiping him because just a few weeks earlier they'd seen him die on a cross and then he had raised himself from the dead. And they were astounded by the fact that they were in the presence of the Son of God. And they fell to their knees and they gave him the honor and the glory and the reverence that he deserved. And they worshiped him. Let me just say this. This is the cool thing about worship. You hear me say this a lot, that it is being in here. It is connecting with God. Hopefully you can connect with God through the words that we're singing. But worship can happen anywhere. And when you and I realize that we're in God's presence, that when we realize the truth about him, you can be sitting at your desk, you can be sitting on your bed at home, you can be sitting in your bed before you go to sleep, you can be in your car, you can be taking a walk through the woods, you can be sitting on your back porch, wherever you are, and you are aware, and this can happen on a regular basis for you, it's not just that it happens once a year or once a month, but you're aware that you're in the presence of God. You're aware of what God's done for you. You're in a spirit of gratefulness and thankfulness. You know what? You worship because you're so grateful, because you're so thankful, because you're so aware of who God is and what he's done. You worship him. That's what they're doing here. They're worshiping him. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, I love that. Because there have been times in most of our lives where we were skeptical, and there are times that you might label yourself even this morning. You might say, you know what, I relate more to the skeptic than I do to the believer. That's where I am, if I were to be honest. And Matthew was being honest, and he looked at the 11, and these were 11 guys that followed Jesus. And he said, you know, there's some that are like, wow, Jesus died on the cross, and he went into the tomb. Isn't this incredible? Let's worship him. And there were other guys standing there and went, I saw you die. I mean, how can this be Jesus? I mean, they could not believe it. And so they were more skeptical. Verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's a bold statement. All the authority in the entire universe and bigger than the universe has been given to me. Meaning God the Father has given me all authority on heaven and in earth. Now, he could say that because it was true. These men could believe that because they had seen him be raised from the dead. And that he had power over death. And so it was easy for most of them to believe that. Verse 19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, we looked at that a little bit last week, and this is the beginning of the mission that Jesus says, now, therefore, now that, you know, all authority has been given to me, this is my charge to you. And he tells them three things. And the first thing he says is, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, the word disciple is a word that you may not use a lot. Maybe we probably need to use it more. Disciple means a follower. It means a learner. And so he's saying, I want you to go use your life, and I want you to influence people so that they become followers of me. That's the first step. That's your first that's the first thing I want you to do. Now, that call is the same to us as followers of Jesus. And the second thing he says is this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And then second thing is baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, you know what? I want you to influence people. I want you to tell people, you know what? There's a barrier between you and God, and it's the sin in your life. And because of the death of Jesus on the cross for you, you can be free of that. You can know what it's like to not walk in bondage anymore, bondage to sin, bondage to yourself, bondage to Satan. You can have a relationship with God. I want you to make disciples. And then I want you to guide those people to go public with it. I want them to be able to stand in front of other people and say, this is who I'm living my life for. Baptism is not a church tradition. It's not something we just do to be doing it. We do it because Jesus asked us to. And he knew that Scott Sparks needed to not only say yes to him, but I needed to go public with that. That I needed to be able to stand in front of other people and say, you know what, me going into these waters is a representation of my old life and my new life. And I just want everybody to know that I follow Jesus. And he said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to make disciples. I want you to baptize them. And then the third thing he says, is this, verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's the third thing. Now, what's that? That is whether you're 16, whether you're 26, whether you're 60, that when you come to know Jesus and you're baptized, then I want you to teach them to obey me for the rest of their life. And whatever age that you are and whatever age that you take your last breath, if you're 99 years old, there's the possibility for you that you never stop growing. You can always be learning. Because I can always learn how to love people better. It is a constant lesson for me to continue to put other people before me because I'm selfish. But you know what? Over time, you begin to grow in that. It is a constant lesson for me to learn to forgive other people and to ask for forgiveness. It's a constant lesson for me. And I said yes to Jesus over 30 years ago. But I'm still learning about receiving grace and extending grace to other people. That I don't hold people to higher expectations. That I don't judge people. That I shouldn't. That I show mercy. Listen, when Jesus says, teach them all things, that's just beginning to scratch the surface of what he's saying. This is what I want you to teach them. And you can teach them for the rest of their life. I want you to influence them to me. I want you to baptize them. And I want you to teach them. That's what he's talking about. And he says, I want you to do this to every nation. Now I want you to think about their mindset. For the whole 3 years that they've been following Jesus, and for Jesus' whole 33 years, where has he been? One nation, Israel. He's just been in that. He's been in Judea and Samaria. He's been in different cities. He's been in Bethlehem. He's been in Jerusalem. They've been throughout the whole country, but he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take this message to all nations. Now, in their understanding at that time of what the world was, it was still huge. It wasn't what we understand the world to be, but it was huge. And in their mind, it was like, all nations. I mean, you realize we walk, right, Jesus? I mean, that's what we do. I mean, we walk. That's where we have to get different places. And also, we're kind of fugitives from Rome. They're kind of after us. And you want us to go to other places. You want us to go to people that have never heard about you, that don't know you, that have no connection with you. That's what you want us to do? And Jesus says, I want you to go to other places, to all nations, and I want you to share with them this good news. I want you to make disciples. I want you to influence them. That's what he's saying. And the amazing part is that because of this group of people, they actually figured it out. They figured out how to do that. And they did go outside of Jerusalem, and they were persecuted. And they were full of joy in the middle of it. And they told people about Jesus. And people came to know him of different languages and different cultures and different nations. And by 350 A.D., the Roman Empire, the official religion of the Roman Empire was Christianity. And 2,000 years later, we're still talking about him. That's amazing. And the same mission is what Jesus is extending to us. So as a church that started 5 years ago, that's the same mission that we have. That's what Jesus, that's the purpose statement, the mission statement, the charge that he's given us as well. And so the question becomes for us, how do we do that? I mean, how do we become influencers in this city? And how do we help people walk with them in all of our imperfectness, to build relationships, to build friendships so that they can receive this incredible gift of freedom, to know what it's like to live their life with the deepest joy possible and imaginable, and to be able to share that with their family and to continue to grow with Jesus for the rest of their life and never be able, Jesus says, to mine out the total depths of his grace or his mercy. How do you do that in this community? How do you do that in the Bible Belt? How do you do that in a community or in the Bible Belt or in this city where it seems like probably most people have already heard about Jesus, but maybe few people actually follow him when you think about how many have heard about him? Would that be a fair statement? That lots of people have heard about him, but maybe few actually follow Him. And we're given that same charge, that same mission. So here's the deal. If you run a business, if you are part of a business or own a business or are part of leading that business, you know this. You have a mission statement. You have a goal of something you're trying to accomplish. We're trying to connect with as many clients or as many customers because we're trying to provide this service. And our desire is to make this kind of impact in this market. And that's what we're trying to do. Now, that's great to write that and hang it on the wall and talk about it in meetings and say, this is our mission. And we could say, you know, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, make disciples, baptize them, teach them. That's our mission. That's what we're doing. But at the end of the day, you got to go, how do we accomplish that? You know, what's our strategy? We put pen to paper and we go, okay, now this is how we're going to make it happen. Now, I'm so encouraged by people who not only have a mission, but they have an idea of how to actually make it happen. Those are the people that really make a difference. And so what we have tried to do, and maybe a lot of this has kind of morphed itself over the last 5 years, what we've tried to do and said, okay, how do we accomplish that mission of actually helping people change their lives? That it's not, listen, have you ever been to a church and you felt like over and over and over people wanted something from you? Have you ever been a part of a church where the people that were there wanted something for you? Just wanted something for you. What would it be to be that kind of church where we wanted something for people because we see what the difference that God can make in your life? It's not we want you here so we can count your numbers. It's not because we want you here so we can get your money. It's not because we can baptize you so we can just baptism. It's not that. It's to love people and to walk with them and share with them and see their life become better. How do we do that? Well, one way, and we don't have the market cornered on this or have everything figured out, but probably one of the biggest ways that we've decided that we want to try to do that is through, and I'm going to say these two words over and over and over the next 10 minutes, is create environments. And what I mean by that is on the other side of that wall, across that hallway right there, is a preschool environment, okay? So we're trying to create a preschool environment where preschoolers learn that God loves me and God wants to be my friend forever. Wouldn't it be awesome if you heard that over and over? If you came out, you left as a 5-year-old or a 4-year-old and went into kindergarten and you knew with great confidence, God loves me and wants to be my friend forever. And then over across this wall and down the hall in the cafeteria, we have an elementary environment, Grove Kids Elementary. And kids kindergarten through 5th grade. And you know what? Teachers there are trying to teach them over and over and over in different ways, in different creative ways. They're saying this. You know what? God loves you. God created you. God wants to help you make the right choice. Would it be incredible if when your 5th grader left to go to middle school, if over and over and over the previous 5 or 6 years they had heard, you know what? God wants to help me to make the right choice. Because when you get to middle school and high school, it's all about choices. College, adulthood, it's all about choices. And so you begin to learn the tools and the stories and the truths that help you make good choices. So we want to create that kind of environment that's fun, that kids want to come back to. We want to create a kind of environment for students, where students can go and they connect with people who they can have fun with, who they respect their life, when they do teach after they play games and ate food and hang out together, that when they do teach, they're listening and it helps them make choices and they respect that mentor. And here's the thing. What we're wanting to do in making this connection with having a relationship with God possible is that in preschool and children and student and adult environments include this, but it also includes adult Bible studies that meet during the week, that you can hear the story of David slaying Goliath 100 times. And you don't just sit back and go, I've heard this story. I know what happens. I know the outcome. I know the points. I know the truths. But you hear it, and you hear it like you've never heard it before. Because there's a teacher standing up in front of a bunch of kindergartners through 5th graders, and they're explaining it, and they're illustrating it, and they're acting it out, and they've never seen it done like that. And you're experiencing maybe someone who facilitates your small group Bible study as an adult, and what they're talking about and what you're seeing is different. You've never heard it explained this way. You've never heard it like this. So what we're trying to do is make that creative and make it fun. Church should not be boring. It should be something, because we want people to know that from the time that they step into the parking lot and as they meet people, greeters, and as they talk to people, as they get some coffee, as they interact with people, as they come in here, as they leave, as they do life here, that you know what? God's good. He's worthy to be enjoyed. These people have a smile on their face, and it's genuine. And it's not that they think that they have it all together. They love God, and they think that He's good. Church should be like that. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create those kind of environments. That's what we're trying to do. And so our official mission statement, if you've never heard it, is very simple. It's that we want to help people take their next step with God. That's it. That's our way of trying to break down the Great Commission, make disciples, baptize, and teach them that whole process. Because what does that mean? That means if you know someone that is so far from God, I mean, they're 50 steps. If we want to help people take their next step with God, they're 50 steps from God. To the person that knows Christ and has known Christ for 50 years and has loved Him and been dedicated and committed to Him, and they've just grown for 50 years. That wherever you know someone on that spectrum, that as a church, as a body, as volunteers, what we're trying to do is just help somebody take their next step, whatever that looks like. And maybe that next step is that they don't know Jesus and they don't know God and they don't want to know God, but you know what? They like you and they're willing to get to know you. But you know what? You're a follower of Jesus. So by getting to know you, they're kind of seeing Jesus. So they're kind of taking their next step all the way along. That's what we're trying to do. That's our mission. That's our desire. So in order to continue doing that, this is what I want to encourage you with today. In order for that to happen, the cool thing is there are dozens of people here that make that happen every week. There are people that are loving your preschoolers, that are loving your elementary age kids, that are loving your students, that come here to set up on Sunday mornings, because we could not worship if our preschool and elementary environments, if our guest services, if those things weren't set up, we couldn't worship. We got people that come early in the morning to set this stuff up. We got people that stay afterwards to tear it down. All dozens and dozens of people. But you know what? In order to make that happen, we need dozens more. In order to be able to help people connect with each other and with God, we need dozens more. And this is what I want to invite you into. Some of you are going to get your car today and you're going to go, I can't believe I came for the first time. And that's what he talked about. He talked about people volunteering. But you know what? The reason we talk about that is it's part of our mission. And I can't do it by myself, and we got a really small staff, and they can't do it by themselves. And we've got a handful of coordinators, and they can't do it by themselves. And it's when you take the gifts that God's given you gifts. Listen, everybody has gifts. And many of you have marketplace experience. Your gifts that God's given you, your marketplace experience, whatever it is, that your personality, your passions can come to bear in some way to help somebody else take their next step with God. You know what we need? We need men. We need men who are willing to say, you know what? I will invest in young men's lives. I'll sit in a circle with some elementary school boys and talk about the lesson. You don't have to be the teacher. We got a large group teacher that does all the teaching. All you got to do is ask some questions and hear them talk about what they think the story means. We need some men that are willing to sit in a circle with middle school guys, with high school young men, that will help them set an anchor. You know what an anchor is? It keeps you where you need to be, right? That you're willing to help middle school and high school and college young men set an anchor of, as they navigate so many choices, so many opportunities, what is the truth of Scripture? How do I apply that to my life? What does God want from me? Who do I need to be? How can I do that with pressure and temptation? And how can I make good choices? And what should I be looking for in somebody that I date? What kind of choices should I be making in dating? And what kind of choices should I be making in friendship? And what kind of choices should I be making in the future? And you help young men set an anchor. Men, you are the people to do that. And you look around, and you ladies are the same. And you'll look around and you'll say, you know what, man, I just wish that these young ladies, and I wish young ladies would make better choices, and I wish young men, and you just shake your heads and go, man, I just, you know, somewhere along the way they just missed it. Do you know that you're the very person that can help them make a difference to not do those choices? as you look around and as you go, man, I wish that this was different in their lives, you can make that difference. Because here's the deal. This is the stories that we hear all the time. No anchor. What happens when you have no anchor? You drift. So I graduated, I got into high school. I drifted away. I mean, I just drifted. I made so many bad choices. That was me. I got into college and I just drifted. I made so many bad choices. That was me. You know, you got married and I just continued to make bad choices. Had kids, made bad choices. And you know, finally I came back. But I'm having to deal with so many wounds, so many bad choices I made. Now listen, I love hearing stories about people coming back. I love hearing people share stories about reconnecting with God. Hear me say, I love to hear that. But wouldn't it be great if your son, if other people's sons didn't have to drift? Everybody doesn't have to drift. Everybody doesn't have to go through a rebellious phase. You don't have to. It's not a rite of passage. You know what? It's a wise man that learns from his own mistakes, but it's a wiser man that learns from the mistakes of others. Wouldn't it be great to create, to set an anchor for boys when they're in elementary school and middle school and high school, that they could make the right choices? Not because you know all the scriptures. Some of you are sitting there and, I just don't know enough, Scott. I don't know enough scriptures. Listen, I don't know them all either. Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I'm not a great teacher. You don't have to be a great teacher. Just ask questions. Just love some kids. We just need you to love kids and love Jesus. I haven't been a Christian that long. I don't really have that much to give. If you know Jesus, you've got a ton to give. Doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a week or you've been a Christian for 30 years. If you know Jesus, you have something to give. If you love kids and you love God, you've got something to give. Men, we need you. Ladies, we need you. We need you to sit in circles with elementary girls and middle school girls and high school girls and college young women and say, here's some of the mistakes I made. Here's some things that I would encourage you to navigate away from, to navigate into. You know, ladies, this is what a godly man looks like. This is what you need to be looking for when you make those choices. You need somebody that's going to treat you like a daughter of God. You know, that you can help those young ladies with their self-esteem, with their relationship with God, with their relationships and dating, with their relationships with their parents and with their friends, where they need somebody. And you know what? I got three kids, and they need voices other than me and my wife. And your kids do too. That's why we need you, because there are kids here who come to Bible study and they need voices in addition to their parents. I want people to come alongside of me and say the same things or say them better than I say them. My kids need to see pictures of spirituality that are different from mine because I don't have it all figured out. And I thank God for the people over the last 5 years and 10 years and 15 years that have invested in my kids. And what they've seen, the people that have impacted them, they come back and they say, I learned this. They literally say, I learned this. You know, sometimes it comes out later. It was like we were talking in Bible study last month. You know, and I try not to like show my overexcitement. I'm just cool. You know, I sit back. Okay, yeah, what was it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, try not to go, what was it? Well, that's incredible. You're talking about, you know, what you learned, you know. But that's what we need. We need couples that go, you know what? I realize that the message doesn't start on stage. It starts, worship starts in the parking lot when people pull up and they have people greeting them and people are showing them the love of God just by the expression on their face. They're genuine. You know, they're not putting on some sort of front and people come in and they get a cup of coffee. And we need people to greet people, hold the door open, say good morning. We need people that would open up their homes and say, you know what, I'll open up my home for an adult Bible study. Or people that would say, I'll facilitate a Bible study. How easy is it for you to show one of those videos for 20 minutes and then ask questions for 25 minutes? Easy. Somebody's doing all the teaching for you. And you're just, what do you need to do? Love Jesus and love people. That's all you got to do. Just get them in a circle. Have some coffee and cake and say, you know what? This Thursday, listen, I meet with some guys on Thursday mornings. There are guys in that Bible study, they are so far beyond me in their maturity and their relationship with God. In the way that they navigate their families, in the way that they navigate their work, in the disciplines that they've developed, in the outlook that they have on other people and on God. There are people there, listen, as a leader, you don't have to have it all together. It's not saying you're the number one person. You're there because you love. I do it because I love them. And I want them to take their next step. We need people to do that. We need people who go, you know what? on a regular basis, people walk through those doors that have never, that haven't been in church. Listen, they have not been in church in 5 years. We need a group of people that go, you know what? There are people that are going to walk through those doors this morning that haven't been in church in 20 years. And we want to create a kind of experience that when they leave, they may go, I don't really agree with everything I heard. I don't know that I even buy into it. But I'll tell you this, I'm going to go back. And the reason I'm going to go back is because of those people. Because they made me feel welcome and they were organized and they were kind. And I like that. So I'm going to go back. We need people that get that. Listen, I want to invite you to do this. I want to invite you to take the gifts that God's given you, the marketplace experience that you have, some of your passions, your personality, and use those to make a difference in other people's lives. I want to invite you to come alongside and help people take their next step with God. Now, I want to show you practically how we do that. We want to paint with broad strokes, but I want to show you in small strokes how that happens. When you came in this morning, hopefully you got a Grove volunteer guide. Ushers, if you guys will go ahead and pass those out. If you didn't get one of these, then the ushers are going to pass these out. Please take one. You can take it home with you. You can look at it later this week. You can flip through it this morning. This is a volunteer guide. I think there's 29 areas to volunteer here, but in those 29 areas, there's 100 different ways that you can serve. They're just going to pass these down to people. Just kind of raise your hand or take one and pass it down. This is a Grove volunteer guide. Now, on the first page, you'll see where it says, if you'll take this out, if you have one, go ahead and take it out. First page says guest services. I'll wait till you guys have a chance to pass this out. All right. Thank you so much, guys. On the first page, if you'll turn to that, it says guest services, and those are greeters and ushers and people that work hospitality. Hospitality is there where people get coffee and donuts and make people feel welcome. Grove Kids check-in and security. And then on page two, you see Grove Kids preschool, and there's about three different ways, but in those three ways, there's tons of different ways you can serve. Grove Kids elementary, and let me say this again. A lot of these are being assistants and being facilitators. There are opportunities to be in elementary, to be an assistant, to be a lead teacher, to be the storyteller that stands up and tells the story in front of all the kids. That might be your giftedness. You may love music and you want to help lead music with Grove Kids Elementary because they sing a couple songs every Sunday and we need people to lead music. In Grove Kids Elementary. That's on page 2 and 3. Page 3, student ministry. That's our middle school and high school environments. And then page 4, set up and tear down. Those are the guys, the ladies, men and women that come early, people that stay late. When I say early, we're not talking like 5 a.m., you know. You come and set up everything so we can get going, stay about 30 minutes after the service is over to tear things down. We have two different teams that do that. We also need drivers to drive our two trailers. The worship team, technical production team, adult Bible studies, and you'll see on and on, creative team, event planning team on this form. This is what I want to ask you to think about doing and pray about doing. We're going to pass an offering basket in about 5 minutes. And if you already know where you want to serve, you can check a couple places and put that in the offering basket this morning. We would love for you to do that. But I'd like to ask you to think about doing something. If you would choose two areas, and check those two, it doesn't mean you're going to serve in both of them, but that you're interested. Now, let me say this, big part of this. This does not begin next week. This does not begin next month. This is starting in the fall, okay? This starts in August because we ask people to serve from August through the next summer. And a lot of these are just rotating teams. It's not that you're serving 52 weeks a year, you know, not signing your life away. In certain ministries, you may serve for a quarter and then you're off a quarter. Other kind of ministries, you may serve for a week and then serve 3 weeks later or serve 2 weeks in a row and then you're off 2 weeks. Every ministry is different. So you can serve on a rotating basis and this does not happen till fall. So you can check a couple places that you're interested. Somebody will be in touch with you over the summer to talk about what you're most interested in. in. Okay? Now, if you were to come, and the people come to me on a regular basis and say, man, I love the Grove. I say, I do too, because I love these people. And people say, I love the Grove, Scott. It's helped change my life, what's going on here. It's helped change my family. We want to serve. And what are your greatest needs? I would tell you this. If I were saying these are our greatest needs, if I were to say these are the top three needs, our top three needs would be these out of all these 29 areas. Our top three needs are in Grove Kids Elementary with assistants, leads, storytellers, music, all tech in Grove Kids Elementary, and you serve on rotating teams there. One of our second big needs is with setup, people that come in the morning and get things set up and put it out so that we can have church, because we couldn't have it without them. And the third area would be student ministry with middle school and high school students. And usually one of the things that people think is, man, I just don't feel like I know enough. I think I kind of covered that earlier. You just, if you love kids, love God, willing to hang out with them, facilitate discussion, and someone that they can look up to, that's what it takes. We need people, we need men and women to invest in middle school boys, middle school girls, high school men and women. And so those are the top three areas. This is what I'd like to ask you to think about, okay? When you're checking two of those areas, if you feel okay about it and you feel good about it, include one of those top three areas, whether it's Grove Kids Elementary or Setup or students. That would be great. If you don't, that's fine too. But it would be wonderful if you could include one of those three areas. Why are we doing this? We're doing this because of the mission that God's called us to do. We're doing this because we want to see people take their next step with God. And I'm going to be completely honest with you, and I hope you trust me in this, but we're doing this for you too. Because you know what? I am so not content with the totality of your spiritual growth being sitting in rows on Sunday morning and getting up and leaving. And if that is the measure of all of your spiritual growth, listen, it's not going to add up to a whole lot. Is it important to come together and worship? Yes. Is it good and healthy for you to come and hear me teach? Yes. And I hope you take it and apply it. But do you know what? You're going to grow more by serving someone and giving away of your time and your gifts and your talents. You're going to grow more through that. Now, if you've ever served, you can raise your hand and say amen. If you haven't, it's hard to relate to this. But you're going to grow more because you always get more than you ever give. You always, that's just kind of the economy of God. So I so want you to be in circles. I so want you connecting with other people to grow and to serve people. That's what I want for you. Now, second thing, and I'm going to shift gears here a little bit. You got one of these when you came in. Hopefully ushers gave you one of these also. If they didn't, guys, if you'll hand these out or pass them out. This was in your handout when you came in this morning. It's a little yellow card, if you'll take that out. This is about this summer, okay? Now, I want to shift gears just a little bit. We're doing this all on the same Sunday to make it a little bit easier. This yellow card is because this summer we have one service for 12 weeks. And we really don't want to ask our preschool and elementary volunteers to lead for those 12 weeks because they'll never be in worship. So if you would be willing to serve for 2 weeks this summer in preschool or elementary, this says, I will volunteer this summer in Grove Kids at 10:30, 2 weeks. I would like to assist in Grove Kids Preschool or Grove Kids Elementary. If you just want to be an assistant to help out, but we could really use your help for 2 weeks this summer, just helping in a preschool class or an elementary class, just to be an assistant, just to help people out, so that our regular volunteers can be in worship for a good part of, for most of the summer, because we want to put them on a two-week rotation also. So if you would take this and also take this green sheet on the very back, because that's how you sign up, go ahead and take your pen, and if you're ready to fill that out, you can. We're going to watch a video on volunteering. You can be filling that out, and then we'll take up our offering here in just a second. Let's watch this video. There are dozens of people that make this mission of what God's asked us to do possible every week. And they have jobs and families and busy schedules just like you. But we're inviting you to help us help people see people's lives changed. And you can do that. You can be a part of that, of helping people's lives changed forever. And if you have that filled out, you can drop that in the offering basket this morning or give that to us in the next couple of weeks. We would love that. Would you bow your head? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to take up our offering. Father, with all of our gifts of time and service, we do that because it's just a reflection and a response to how giving you've been to us. We did not come up with the idea of giving. You did when you gave your son. Jesus, when you gave your life. And so we give in response to that. And we give our money this morning. We give our time and our talents. And we ask that you would use them in a way that would change people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So delighted that you're here this morning. Remember that if we have your email, and the way you'll know if we have your email is if you receive email communication from us, you'll receive an invitation tomorrow to sign up for this free streaming video Bible study service. And we'd love for you to be a part of that. Have a great week. We love you. God bless you.